Chapter 14, Processing. In order to process a loan, we complete all the collection of documents mentioned previously, have the conversations needed, order title work, builder's risk insurance, schedule the closing, and make sure the borrower is informed of our guidelines and has signed and returned the documents required. Setting up the file. When making a loan, you can set up a file folder that is legal size and put all of your documentation in it. You can also have a digital file folder on your computer. This is where you would store everything that is given to you. You can scan and store anything that you need to originate, underwrite, process, and close the loan. This way, you will always have a digital copy in case you ever need it as a backup. You can set up any kind of computer folder system that you want and works for you. For example, you can have a folder for active loans, paid off loans, and in processing. You can also have one for loans you turned down. Then you can name them by borrower name, and then year, then address. For example, Bobby Smith, 2016, 125 Oak Street. Then you can always do a search for loans or borrowers and find the needed file. Setting up loan numbers. You can set up specific criteria for numbering your loans to help you find one in the event you need it either on your computer or in a filing cabinet. On the following page is a simple way to number your loans. Origination month, day, year, maturity month, day, year. Example, 7, 15, 19, 7, 14, 20. This loan was originated July 15th, 2019, and is due July 14th, 2020. RESPA. In traditional lending to consumers, there is regulation called RESPA. This is an acronym for Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act. RESPA requires certain disclosures to potential borrowers when applying for a loan. These disclosures include the TIL and GFE. These are the Truth in Lending and Good Faith Estimate of Closing Cost. In hard money lending on investment properties, RESPA is not typically required. However, you will want to check with your state's banking commission to ensure this. There is a directory for the contact information for all 50 states at the end of this course. Changes to Truth in Lending Act and RESPA. For more than 30 years, federal law has required lenders to provide two different disclosure forms to consumers applying for a mortgage. The law also has generally required two different forms at or shortly before closing of the loan. Two different federal agencies developed these forms separately under two federal statutes, the Truth in Lending Act, TILA, and the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act of 1974, RESPA. The information on these forms is overlapping and the language is inconsistent. Not surprisingly, consumers often find the forms confusing. It is also not surprising that lenders and settlement agents find the forms burdensome to provide and explain. Starting August 1, 2015, the HUD and Truth in Lending forms are replaced by new forms produced by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB, which, under the Dodd-Frank Act, took over administration of the Real Estate Settlement Procedures Act, RESPA, from HUD. The first new form, the Loan Estimate, is designed to provide disclosures that will be helpful to consumers in understanding the key features, cost, and risk of the mortgage loan for which they are applying. The loan estimate must be provided to consumers no later than 3 business days after they submit a loan application. The second form, the Closing Disclosure, is designed to provide disclosures that will be helpful to consumers in understanding all of the cost of the transaction. The closing disclosure must be provided to consumers 3 business days before they close on the loan. The forms use clear language and design to make it easier for consumers to locate key information, such as interest rate, monthly payments, and cost to close the loan. The forms also provide more information to help consumers decide whether they can afford the loan and to compare the cost of different loan offers, including the cost of the loans over time. The loan estimate and closing disclosure must be used for most closed-end consumer mortgages. Home equity lines of credit, reverse mortgages, or mortgages secured by a mobile home or by a dwelling that is not attached to real property, i.e. land, must continue to use current disclosure forms required by TILA and RESPA separately. The TILA-RESPA rule does not apply to loans made by persons who are not considered creditors because they make five or fewer mortgages a year. They also do not apply to lenders making loans to investors who will not live in the property. Remember that this is for consumer protection and investors are not considered consumers. For private, hard money loans and investor-to-investor sales, the old HUD-1 and HUD-1A will work and can still be used since the new forms are not required for those closings. Having said that, most closing agents will be accustomed to using them and will probably be using them with your hard money loans as well. Verification documentation. In this section, we will go through the various verification documentation that will be mailed directly to the appropriate party to verify information that was put on the credit application. These documents consist mainly of the VOE, VOR, VOD, and VOM. These stand for verification of employment, rent, deposits, and mortgage. As a hard money lender, you are flexible in what or how much you want to do to verify information on the application to process the loan. For example, if you are getting a traditional loan from a bank or credit union or other mortgage lender, they will always mail the verification documents to the borrower's employer, bank, and current mortgage holder or landlord to verify all of the information that was put on the application. To protect the integrity of the information, it is important that it is mailed directly to the employer and not given to the applicant to take to the employer. This ensures that the information is correct and given by the third party. The same goes for the other verification documents as well. We do not always verify all of the information if we feel comfortable with the borrower and have received recent documentation such as pay stubs and current mortgage statements from the current mortgage holder. Keep this in mind as I explain each of the verification documents, as you may or may not use them depending on your own personal underwriting standards. I have included each on your forms disk. Verification of employment. The VOE will be mailed directly to the employer to fill out and mail back to you, the lender. Once you receive it, you will then compare the information that has been given with the pay stub that you have received from the borrower. This will basically verify that you have been given an accurate pay stub and can rely on the income given on the credit application. Verification of rent. If your borrower is a tenant, then you will use the VOR to mail to their landlord to get a rental reference from them. If you are going to use the VOR, it is a good idea to mail it to the current and the previous landlord to get a reference, as the current landlord may give them a great reference because they think their deadbeat tenant is about to move out and they want to help. However, the previous landlord will be truthful with you and tell you all about their previous tenant. Verification of deposit. Since it is important that your borrower have some reserves, it is not a bad idea to verify that the money is in their bank and that they haven't given you a fabricated statement. Verification of mortgage. If their mortgage reports to the credit bureau and you get their credit report, then you do not necessarily need to mail a VOM. However, if you do, it will give you all of their mortgage information as well as their pay history. You can also use the same document to verify rents. I have included it on your forms disk. Termite report. When making your hard money loan, you may want to think about getting a termite inspection report that will list everything that needs to be done to get a clearance letter. This will ensure that anything that your borrower's buyer's lender requires will be done before it ever comes up as an issue. Builder's risk insurance. Builder's risk insurance covers the property while it is vacant and being rehabbed. Builder's risk insurance should be required on every loan showing the lender as the mortgagee, not co-insured or additional insured. The lender has more benefits in the event of a claim than the co-insured or additional insured. The amount should be for the after-repaired value of the home. Some insurance companies will only offer builder's risk if the repair list is more than 20% of the purchase price of the house. Otherwise, they will place a vacant policy on the house. Be sure to talk with a reputable insurance agent about the difference between the two. Whatever you do, do not accept an insurance binder and close the loan. A binder provides coverage for a few days until the borrower and property can be analyzed by the insurance company. If you want to make sure the policy is paid in full, then have the invoice sent to the closing agent and paid out of closing. This way, you do not have to worry about the borrower's check bouncing after the closing for the premium. We have a local insurance company that is familiar with the way we do business, and we refer our borrowers to them if they need a good insurance company. However, the borrower can get their insurance anywhere they want. How much insurance is needed? The property will not be insured for the loan amount. You need to make sure the coverage is for at least 100% of the replacement value after the property has been repaired. In other words, the ARV of the property. Builder's risk insurance. Ask your local insurance company that you already do business with first before trying to find a national company. This is always your best bet. However, your local insurance company may have higher rates because they do not specialize in builder's risk. We have one local and one national company that we primarily use. However, I wanted to give you some to choose from, and these companies insure property all over the U.S. www.nreinsurance.com www.nationinsurance.com Insurance request documentation. On the following page is a form you can use to send to the insurance company to request insurance. Just make sure that your borrower hasn't already requested insurance. Either way, they will be the ones paying for the coverage. Flood certification. The appraisal will tell you if the property is in a flood zone. If the property is in a flood zone, the insurance is higher. It may not mean much to the lender or the investor, because you know it is temporary, as you are not buying the house to live in. It does, however, mean a lot to the end user, which in turn means that your borrower may not be able to sell it. If the property is located at the beach or near water, then of course it is to be expected. If the property is in a newly formed 100-year flood zone and it flooded about 3 years ago, devastating everything in its path, then you will not get that home sold. People don't forget for a long time. You can also find out if the subject property is in a flood zone by going to FEMA's website and type in the address. Their website is mcs.fema.gov/portal/search. Borrower disclosures. Make sure the borrower signs and initials all required disclosures that you want them to sign, as well as any required disclosures. The disclosure that refers to the loan being a non-owner occupied loan is mentioned over and over again. We want to ensure that there will be no question from the government on whether or not this is a commercial or a consumer loan. You also want to make sure there is no question from your borrower or any regulator that will ever see your paperwork that this is a non-owner occupied commercial loan. Borrower disclosure documents. On the following page are the disclosures we have our borrowers sign. The first is a borrower rehab loan disclosure, and the second is a borrower loan fraud disclosure. NCNDCA document. Another document you can have your borrower sign would be a non-circumvent, non-disclosure confidentiality agreement. We have one that we sometimes have borrowers sign if we feel they will go around us and try to start doing loans directly with the private lender that funded their last loan with us. This just helps keep the borrower working with us instead of going directly to the lender. You can also have your private lender sign this also so they will not try to go around you and directly to the borrower for the next loan. As a side note, sometimes this does happen. However, we have a good relationship with our lenders that they usually simply let us know so we can talk to the borrower and get them back in line and remind them of our non-circumvent agreement. You will find our agreement on the next page. Draw schedule disclosure document. One of the disclosures we have the borrower sign is the draw schedule disclosure. This just makes them aware of what it takes for them to get a draw and what happens if the work is not completed satisfactory. Here is the document. Title search. A part of processing a loan is making sure the property is free and clear of any liens, judgments, or back taxes. When we put a mortgage on a property, it will typically be a first mortgage. A title search that is performed by an attorney or title company will tell us the history of the property. This is usually performed by a paralegal that works for an attorney or title company. They physically go to the courthouse, to the Register of Deeds department, and look up all of the information about the subject property. They will look at all of the conveyances of the property that will list everyone that has owned the property and when they sold it and for how much. They will also look up all of the mortgages, liens, and judgments, as well as the taxes, if any, that are owed. This is a very important part of making a hard money loan because we want to make sure that our equity position is protected by the value of the property. Title insurance. Once the attorney or title company has performed the title search, giving the history and current status of the property, they will be able to issue a title policy. The title policy is simply an insurance policy that will protect the borrower and lender in the event that a future claim comes up against the property that should have shown up on the title search when it was performed. You can typically request a lender's policy of up to 125% of the loan amount from the title insurance company. I would suggest that you do this. The premium will be a little more expensive, however, your borrower is paying it anyway, and it is just a little more protection for you should you have a claim. Sample claim. Say you buy a house to live in, and a year after you buy it, you get a knock on your door from someone who says the previous owner, who is their aunt and uncle, said they would give them the property. So now they claim to have ownership interest in the property and are going to sue you and the previous owner. Your title insurance policy will defend your right to ownership against this claim. There are many other types of claims that could arise, such as old mortgages that never got canceled or relatives that never signed off on the deed when the property was sold years ago. The bottom line is to never buy a property or make a loan on a property without getting title insurance. You may never need it, but just consider it a cost of doing business. Appraisal. As a part of the processing, you will order an appraisal from a local appraiser. You want to use one that knows the area and is fairly conservative. An appraisal is done by a licensed appraiser and is done to specific standards. We order appraisals on every property that we make a loan on. This doesn't mean, however, that we do not also get a CMA as previously discussed. You are going to order what is called a subject to appraisal. Another term for this is an as-repaired or after-repaired appraisal. In other words, your appraiser will appraise the property as if the work on the rehab estimate that has been given has already been done. Another thing an appraiser will tell you is if the property is in a flood zone. If it is in a flood zone, then you will need to reevaluate the property to determine if you want to make the loan or not. We have made loans on properties in flood zones. However, just remember that when a flood comes, people do not forget for a long time. This could hurt your borrower from being able to sell the property. Yes, you can always get flood insurance. However, if your borrower can't sell the property, that will not help you to get paid back. Comparative market analysis. We have already talked about getting a CMA. So here, I just want to mention that if you have not already received one as a process of doing your underwriting, then you will want to have a good realtor get you one. You should have built a relationship with a good realtor that you can call on when needed. They shouldn't charge your borrower unless they do not think they will be getting the listing. Notice, I said they shouldn't charge your borrower, as you will not be paying for it. Mortgage fraud. There are a lot of borrowers that just look for lenders they can get money from, then default on the loan. They also look for ways to borrow more money than they should be able to, then pocket the money. They will do many things to deceive you. We could write a whole book on loan fraud. However, I just want to make sure when doing loans, you treat it like Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. Verify anything that you do not feel comfortable about. Borrowers who do their own work, you should be careful about overfunding the repairs. Borrowers who already own the property, you should be careful about lending too much. Borrowers who are buying a property from a friend or relative, be careful that they aren't telling you one price and actually buying it for a different lower price. If the borrower brings me their own appraisal, I am also skeptical. The quicker a borrower needs to close a loan, the more skeptical I am. The more excuses they have when I inquire about inconsistencies, the more skeptical I am also. Remember, like I said before, sometimes the best loan is the one you said no to and didn't make. This is why we have a borrower's loan fraud disclosure for the borrower to sign. Borrower's responsibility. Please keep in mind that when you are making a loan for a borrower, they are responsible for any cost associated with the loan. Therefore, you need to make sure they understand that if the appraisal comes in too low, they still owe the money for the appraisal cost. If the title search has been ordered and there are liens and judgments that haven't been paid or can't be paid, then they still owe for the title search. Some lenders collect upfront fees to cover these costs. However, there are a lot of unscrupulous lenders that collect upfront fees and never close a loan, so I would not recommend collecting upfront fees.